EINU is produced by PLS, a leadership and organizational development firm in Central New York, offering an array of services to affect both individual and organizational transformation. This series will explain why emotional intelligence is important from a leadership and organizational development perspective.
Let's get right down to it. Adaptability is the competency that impacts business performance.
You travel to different parts of the world, to different parts of the country, and you see that they do the same thing that we do differently, and it's not wrong.
What is emotional intelligence, or EI as it is often called, and how can it help a business improve its performance? What are the elements? How can it be strengthened? Welcome to EI and You. I'm your host, Mark Mangiacaro, and over the course of this series, we will discover the answers to those questions and much more. Joining me again today are Ralph Simone and Cindy Massengill, experts in the field of emotional intelligence. Ralph, let's get right to the nuts and bolts. Define emotional intelligence for us in a single sentence.
Recognizing your emotions and the emotions in others for the purpose of management and performance.
Cindy, remind us what the four clusters are.
And the four clusters are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management.
You guys adapted pretty quickly to my rapid-fire opening inquiries. What does adaptability mean in the context of EI?
So when you think about, earlier you talked about emotional intelligence and how it impacts business performance. Let's get right down to it. Adaptability is the competency that impacts business performance. When you think about people who are not adaptable, they're putting the brakes on, they're digging their heels in, they're not flexible, they're not changing. What else can impact business performance?
I think one adaptability is, we sometimes use the word agility, but the ability to respond to what's right in front of you. I won't get this right, but Eisenhower had a quote on planning. And, you know, planning is useful, but you cannot fall in love with the plan. And people who fall in love with their plan are not adaptable to what's going on in the environment that surrounds them.
And when you think about why, the great question is, why is it being adaptable important? Think about the pace of change over the last just 10 years. Computers are smaller, they're faster, their companies are merging, our roles and responsibilities are just continuing to grow with fewer resources. So the need to be more adaptable has just heightened even today.
How can someone who's been doing things the same way for a long period of time, how can that person learn to be adaptable?
I think they need to experiment with small steps. One of the things, I'll tell you a story that drove my wife nuts. When our kids were under 3 years old, I taught them to eat with chopsticks. And my wife thought that that was one of my less than better ideas. But the reason I did that is because whether they used a fork, a spoon, or chopsticks, it all ended up on the floor anyway. And I got them used to thinking about there's more than one way to do something. And so getting people to take a different route to work, getting them to experiment with small change first to kind of develop that adaptable muscle then allows them to be more open to taking bigger change steps.
Mark, another part of the definition of this competency is the willingness to change ideas or the willingness to change your approach based on new information. So you asked the question, how does someone become more adaptable, or how does somebody sort of get out of, if you feel like you're set in your new ways, to use a new approach? And one of the things that you can do is proactively look for ideas and approaches that you're resistant to. And then practice something completely opposite. So I'll give you an example. For many, many years, I used a Franklin planner. Using a Franklin planner is a really good way to stay organized. The approach that I was resistant to was using an electronic calendar. I was quote unquote stuck in Aruba a couple years ago when a bunch of airports shut down, and so we ended up having to stay there for 4 extra days. I had to call my neighbor to break into my house to look at my Franklin planner to tell me what appointments were on my calendar that coming week, because I didn't have an electronic calendar, my phone with me in Aruba. My Franklin planner was back at home, right? So that was a great example of it was an opportunity. It was a knock at my door to say, Cindy, try this. And I did. And I'm actually using an electronic calendar and finding it very effective. I'm not saying that a planner isn't effective, but that's a way to practice adaptability and to get really good at adaptability. Look for where you're digging your heels in and challenge yourself a little bit.
When I stopped using the Franklin and went on to using the whole Google Calendar thing, what I find now is that I'm constantly, if I just have little tasks I'm doing myself, I'm constantly pushing them forward an hour or 2 hours. Oh, I'll do that later.
Yeah.
I didn't do that when I had the Franklin. It was on at 2 o'clock. I did it at 2 o'clock because it was too hard to change.
That's interesting.
So certain support tools may make it more difficult for you to be flexible in the moment, because I think adaptability causes a, you know, needs us to be present to what's right in front of us. And while we want people to develop habits that allow them to be more productive, that generate results, we also want them to be open to changing those habits. And adaptability is a key competency to help people with that.
And sometimes the change, so in your situation, perhaps using an electronic calendar or the Google Calendar, maybe that isn't the best approach, but what the success in that story is the fact that you were adaptable and you had a willingness to change your approach.
I think that I've gotten much more comfortable with it, and I've found more strengths in it. Like the ability to share it with other people is just so much easier than the old-fashioned way
sure.
to do it. But that was my struggle. I'll just push that forward another
yes.
half an hour.
Yes.
No problem. That doesn't bother anybody else. It seems to me that this might be a competency that will take people a longer time to work on, especially if they've been doing things the same way for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. Is it going to take them a lot longer to grow this competency than some of the other ones?
I don't think so, Mark. You can do little things to start strength. If you think of adaptability as a muscle, you know, taking some small baby steps, it sounds silly, but taking a different way to work, that's just a way to practice adaptability, being flexible, looking at new ways of doing things. You're starting to plant that seed in your mind about looking at different perspectives, ordering something different off of a menu. Change up your habit when you first get to work. Typically, people go right to their office, get their cup of coffee, and check their email. Do something completely different just for the first 30 minutes of when you get to work. So I think this can be really an easy and impactful competency to strengthen if you approach it from taking baby steps.
You know, if you really want to jam people up, because I think I would agree with that, but have them sit at a different place when they come to a standing meeting. And that will, because then you get a different perspective. But sometimes people find that hard. So I think we have to create, you know, we talked about small steps, baby steps, and practice. This is really why they call it practice. You don't learn anything at the level where you own it unless you practice it. So how do you chunk it down? How do you take those steps? Travel is a wonderful way for people to develop adaptability. You travel to different parts of the world, to different parts of the country, and you see that they do the same thing that we do differently, and it's not wrong. I think that is a wonderful way to develop the adaptability muscle.
Sure. In England, they drive on the other side of the street, and they get where they're going.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know, Mark, another way to look at this competency is our conversation has been kind of focused on getting people to do things differently. But another part of this competency is how resilient you are when things don't go as planned. How adaptable and how flexible are you in that moment? How did you recover when all of a sudden you lost your PowerPoint presentation during an important meeting? How did you manage to stay productive when your phone died, your laptop died, your surface died, whatever. You know, how resilient are you? And so that's a good reflective exercise to pay attention to. How resilient were you in those moments? And what can you do differently to strengthen that part of your adaptability?
And that speaks very well to how do you measure whether you're making progress. Mm-hmm. So if you can shorten the time from upset to recovery or resiliency, that is a measure of strengthening your emotional intelligence and strengthening your adaptability.
What would you say to a skeptic that says, well, adaptability, that's just being inconsistent. I like doing things the same way it works for me. Why would I want to change it?
Well, that's a great question, because I'm a guy who does a lot of stuff the same way every single day. It's the power of practice. I get up early. I sit for an hour. I meditate. I read. But periodically, I change that up. And I change that up because sometimes, you know, fish notice water last. You can get so set in your ways that when you, unless it's a significant emotional event, you won't look to change it up. And the reason I want to change it up is the world is changing, as Cindy pointed out earlier. And so I think there is, the power of habit is good. Just recognize that you want to also have the habit of changing it up. Add that into your arsenal.
So get in the habit of embracing adaptability.
Exactly. You know, I'll work without a list some days. Now that's, you know, really on the outside edge of my comfort zone. Or I will get up a little bit later. You know, I'll meditate for less time. I won't read, you know. So changing up the routine.
Maybe someone who works out, they can just change the order of the exercises they do. Do the same exercises in a different order?
Well, think about it. That's a really excellent point, because if you do the same thing over and over again with the body gets bored, and you actually sub-optimize the performance in the development. We're about performance in this model. So we do want to change it up so that it's fresh and so that the body, the mind, does not get bored with the routine.
And I agree, Mark, that the there is a power in having habits, rituals, that contribute to our performance and our effectiveness. But when you think about changing it up and being adaptable, people who are adaptable can deal more positively with change. They're much easier to shift priorities. And when you think about everyone who's listening to this podcast, when you think about how often there is this requirement of us to shift priorities, it's happening on a daily basis. And if we're not adaptable, we're going to have a difficult time doing that. Being adaptable helps us to be open to other people's perspectives. And so going back to when we first introduced this competency, this is one that impacts business performance. And this is how we can show that emotional intelligence is impacting business performance.
EI and You is produced by PLS. Executive producer Ralph Simone. Research director Cindy Massengill. Technical assistance provided by Matt Langley. I'm Mark Mangiacaro. For more information on emotional intelligence and other leadership development tools, visit discoverpls.com.